Good evening. So I usually start out by saying a prayer that these words are not my words, that this is not me speaking, but that it is the Holy Spirit. And that's still going to be my prayer tonight. But it's also a little bit more true than normal because this energy that I have right now is due to the coffee I just had a few an hour ago. So it truly will be a combination of, instead of me and the Holy Spirit, it'll be espresso and the Holy Spirit. But before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. God, I thank you just for all of the blessings that you've given us. I thank you for just the warm weather that is to come, and I thank you for just the fellowship and the family that we have here. Lord, I pray that tonight, just as I'm delivering this message, God, that it is everything that you have given me, that you are speaking through me, and that it's not my words. And God, I pray that tonight, that as we leave tonight, I pray that we can continue to praise you with our lives. And we love you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. What do you do? That's a question that people ask a lot. What do you do? And when they say this, of course, they're asking, you know, what's your job? What's your job title? What do you do for a living? And so when people ask that, or you know, maybe if they ask, maybe for the teens, they ask, you know, what do you do outside of school? What are your extracurriculars? Play any sports? Are you in a band? Something like that. They're asking, you know, what are the things that you do? What do you choose to occupy your time? And if it's a particularly interesting thing, something that maybe somebody doesn't quite understand, they might ask for details, right? They might ask, how, right? How do you do this? What is it that you do? And then maybe they'll ask, how do you do this? And that's kind of going a little bit deeper, right? They want to know what are the specifics of that job? What are the things that you do on a day-to-day basis? But very rarely does somebody ask the question, why? Now, maybe it's because it kind of seems rude, maybe because some things that people do, it's just kind of obvious. If you work in the medical field, the understood why you do what you do is probably you'd like to help sick people. If you're an educator, if you're in the education, you probably like to teach people. You probably have a passion for others learning. And so, you know, all of these things are, you know, kind of understood. But very rarely does somebody ask why. and so I would argue, though, sorry, I got a little bit off track. I would argue that the why is the most important thing. I would argue that why you do something is more important even than what or how you do it. So open your Bibles with me to John 11. Now I'll be reading, it's quite a long passage, but John 11, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 44. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. The sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, If you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that now, even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is a powerful, powerful story. This is one of the signs in John. It's actually, if you don't count Jesus' own resurrection, it's the last sign in the book of John. And Jesus is out with his disciples. He's teaching, he's healing, he's doing what Jesus does. When he gets word from his friends, Mary and Martha, that their brother is sick, his friend Lazarus is sick. And the odd thing about this is that Jesus says, "This sickness will not end in death." Now, we just read this story. Now, clearly, Lazarus does die. But Jesus isn't saying Lazarus won't die. He says this sickness won't end in death. In fact, this sickness is going to end with God being glorified. Lazarus is going to die. Death does occur, but death doesn't get to win that day. And so Jesus does another odd thing. He stays where he is for 2 more days and then tells his disciples he wants to go back. He wants to go see him. So many scholars believe that that these messengers that were sent to tell Jesus about Lazarus' illness, probably this would have taken about a day's journey to get to Jesus, given the you know, how far apart things are and how long it takes to walk. So it probably took about 2 days to get to Jesus. Then it says Jesus waits another 2 days before heading out. And then if it took the messengers a day, then it probably will take Jesus a day to get there. And so this is a total of 4 days, and most scholars agree that due to the timeline that John gives and the nature of the illness, the fact that the illness does kill Lazarus, it's possible, maybe even probable, that Lazarus has already died by the time the messengers even get to Jesus. And so Jesus tells his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." Now, of course, the disciples don't understand this. They think that he means natural sleep. They think that he means, you know, that Lazarus has fallen asleep. And, you know, we all know that, you know, sleep is very good for, you know, illness. Rest is one of the things that they recommend. Jay and I were just talking about that, actually. He was saying, you know, "I really probably need to go to sleep, and that might kick this throat thing or whatever's going on." Rest is good. Sleep is good, and the disciples understand that, but they're thinking this is a natural sleep. But Jesus knows that Lazarus has passed away. And so he says, you know, he says them very plainly, Lazarus is dead. But then he said something interesting. He says, for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. See, the disciples are about to see Jesus do something amazing, and they don't quite know it yet. They're about to see Jesus resurrect a man who has been dead for 4 days. They're about to see this great manifestation of the glory of God. And it's going to kindle their faith, and for that reason, Jesus is glad. So don't lose the magnitude of this statement. Don't lose it just because of the words that Jesus uses. Don't lose this because just because, you know, he says, I'm glad. He's sad that his friend Lazarus has died. We'll see that in verse 35. He's going to weep over Lazarus dying. He's glad that he wasn't there to heal Lazarus, because death is a lot more difficult to overcome than some illness that we don't know about. This is going to be for the purpose of glorifying God. And so the more difficult something is to do, the more power it's going to take to do that. And so Jesus gets to Bethany, and he finds out that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. He's been dead, buried in the tomb for 4 days. And so Martha comes up to him, and she does something that I think maybe we all might do in this situation. She's upset. She tells Jesus, if you had been here, you know, if you had been here while Lazarus was still sick, maybe he could have been saved. In fact, she knows that. And she's getting caught up in this what. She's getting caught up in the what of the situation. She knows what Jesus is able to do. She's not necessarily concerned with the how or the why. Now, this does take faith. This is a statement of faith. But in verse 23, Jesus explains to Martha that her brother will rise again. And this is actually a pretty common statement. This isn't something that would really take her aback very much. This was a story or a saying that a rabbi would say as words of comfort to somebody who has lost a loved one. It would say, well, he will rise again. And of course, Martha thinks that he's talking about the resurrection on the last day. So when he says, you know, your brother will rise again, she's thinking, well, yeah, someday in the future. She doesn't realize Jesus is actually talking about that very day. And so I'll go ahead and read again verses 23 through 27 if you're following along. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day, on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world. This is a great statement of faith from Martha. And so before Jesus is going to perform this miracle, he has a purely human breakdown. John loves to show the humanity of Jesus, the majesty of Jesus and the power of Jesus for sure, but he loves to show the humanity of Jesus, that Jesus struggled with the same types of things that we struggle with. And the loss of a friend is one of those things. And so Jesus has a breakdown. He begins weeping. He knows that he could have definitely saved Lazarus from dying, but he didn't. It would be easy to focus on the what, right? The fact that Jesus could have saved him. It would also kind of be easy to focus on the how. Jesus knows how to do this. He knows how to save somebody from illness. We know that Mary and Martha had faith, which is a necessary component we've talked about for miracles to happen. But Jesus wasn't focused on the what, and he wasn't focused on the how. Jesus was focused on the why. He knew why he had waited so long to come to Bethany. So Jesus commands those around to roll back the stone to Lazarus' tomb, but Martha objects, right? She says that the body would have started to decay by now, right? It would have started to rot. It would have been smelly. And so Jesus' response is really the very essence of the gospel. He says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God. And so Jesus says a prayer to the Father. And I think we could probably infer that this is not the first time that he's done this, especially in this situation. This is not the first time that Jesus has prayed about this going on, but Jesus prays to God before doing this. And then he commands Lazarus, come out of the tomb. One scholar says that, he suggests that the raising of Lazarus is a parable. It's for those who, now it actually happened, but it also serves as a parable in the book of John, that that this is how the resurrection will take place in the future. That on that day of resurrection, they will hear the same quickening shout and come out. See, this shout, this when Jesus says, come out of the tomb, this isn't a request. This isn't a suggestion. This is a shout of raw authority as the Son of God. And so the what is that Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead. The how is by his power and his authority as the Son of God. But the why is for the glory of God. That everyone would know that Jesus was sent as Messiah. And the why is the most important part of this story. In business, why is one of the most important things as well. If you know me, you know I'm a big kind of Apple fanboy. I have an iPhone, I have an iPad, I have a MacBook, Apple TV, you know, I'm sold out on Apple products. And, you know, it's easy to kind of look at Apple today and see fanboys and hipsters and people with their MacBooks in their, you know, in the Starbucks and, you know, drinking their coffee and, you know, posting on, you know, overpriced phones and reading books on overpriced tablets and all of this stuff. But Apple got as big as it is now for a reason. The late CEO, Steve Jobs, he started this company out of a garage. And he wanted to make a computer that was kind of all in one. He wanted to make a computer that was one single unit. This hadn't really been done before. It had a keyboard on it. The screen was built into the keyboard. This hadn't really been done before. And this was incredibly hard to do, to put it in that kind of compact of a space. And he didn't start this computer company because I want to be better than Microsoft, or I want to be better than Hewlett-Packard, or anything like that. He didn't start this company for that. He did it because he wanted to create a computer that was designed for artists, for free thinkers, for people who wanted to kind of break the mold, people who wanted to create things. And that was his why. He ended up having a disagreement with another guy, with a partner, because this partner was interested in getting a product out there, competing with the other companies. Just get it out there. Just distribute it. Just sell, sell, sell. And Steve Jobs wasn't into that. That wasn't his purpose behind it. His purpose behind it was to create something for his customers. He didn't care about competing with other companies. And so his what was computers, and his how was building computers, but his why was the customer. So the why is more important than anything else. That's why people buy products, and you can use that with Apple, you can use it with any other company really that you see is a little bit different. The why is more important to them than the what or the how. And so it's thought that Jesus waits so long to get to Bethany, waits there for 2 days for no apparent reason, but really the reason is to glorify God. And so it's thought that there's this belief, many rabbis believe, that during the first 3 days after a person's death, the soul, the spirit kind of hangs around the area for around 3 days. And that was kind of the superstition, I guess. It was a belief. And so it leaves the body permanently, it leaves the area permanently from the fourth day on. And so it might be for this reason that Jesus, again, makes sure that there is no doubt at all that this sign that he's about to perform is a legitimate miracle by the power of God and no one else. And Jesus has this power to heal Lazarus as soon as he heard the news. We've seen Jesus before do this, where somebody says, you know, my servant is sick. The Roman centurion comes to him and says, my servant is sick. And he says, your servant is healed. He did it long distance. Long distance healing. But this why is more important than the what or the how. He puts the why even over his own feelings, and later he weeps because Lazarus has died. And this is an attitude that carries over even to the cross. And as Jesus walked those streets and he climbed that hill, the whole time being spit on, the whole time being insulted, the whole time being beaten, he was focused not on the what or the how. He was focused on the why. The what was dying. The how was dying on a cross. But the why was to save you and to save me from our sins, offering us a chance at eternal life. It's easy to get caught up in the what and the how. It's easy to disagree, even in church, about the what or the how. But let's focus on the why. The why is glorifying God, bringing as much glory as we can to our Father, our King. And so tonight, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity if you need to be baptized, if you want to answer that call, if you want to respond to that why, then you can come forward and you can be baptized, or maybe you just need prayers. And if you need prayers, then we are here to help you. We're here to see you through that. But whatever the case is, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing.